This is Larry Phillips, and I'm sitting here with my son Mark Phillips, and we're going to be doing a verse-by-verse study on the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Today is the 15th of April, 2016, and I'm going to have Mark read for us actually the first six verses, and then we'll comment on that, and then continue to read down through the chapter. Mark?
Hello. Hi. Who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Well, again, first verse, who hath believed our report? And who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, we know that the only one that will believe the report is those to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed by God himself. Now, a lot of Arminians and free will people will tell you just the opposite. They'll tell you that all men can believe and receive, but they all cannot. And so, you know, we can look around this and you can see that not a lot of people have believed the report of the gospel contained in both the Old and New Testaments. The Jews still have all the facts, and they don't believe Christ is the Messiah. And so the blessings of grace are received only to those who that grace has been dispensed to. Mark, do you have any thoughts about this first verse?
The only people that believe and report are the ones that God enlightens his truth to.
Very good. Well, yeah. Mark, you want to read verse 2?
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Well, we are told that he is meek and lowly. And that he is... He was comely. He was not a good-looking man like these people try to promote Jesus as being, a blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus. Says he grew up as a root out of a dry ground. You know? And it says that the Messiah would be born without a father or the seed of a man. He hath no form nor comeliness. In other words, like a poor plant or a shrub just crept up out of the ground in a dry and barren soil, ready to wither away. And So probably the countenance of Christ was comely. And because the Bible tells us that. Mark, do you have any thoughts about that verse?
Verse 2?
Yes.
Jesus, I'm trying to pass
that. It says there's no beauty that we should desire him, so he must have not been really real handsome person, you know?
God looks on the heart, though.
Right. Why don't you read verse 3?
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed and not.
Well, he was not readily accepted by the leaders of the day. In fact, the Pharisees hated him. And he didn't like the Pharisees too well. And he was truly a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And notice it says, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. In other words, all of us are born and conceived in sin, and we can do nothing to bring ourselves to him until he reveals himself and quickens us and raises us from spiritual death to spiritual life. So Christ is the one who took our sins upon himself. And Mark, why don't you read verse 4?
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted.
What does that verse mean to you?
Carry our sins and iniquities, and he was chastised by God, he was whipped by God, and
okay, and why don't you read
glorified after he died, you know.
Now why don't you read verse 5?
But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying. You know, all of the sins of God's elect were put upon Christ. And because of his bearing our sins and so on, we were forgiven. All of our sins were cast from us as far as the east is from the west. And it says he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, that's quite a thing for Christ to have gone through. And all of the humiliation and sufferings, he was the God-man. He was not just a mere man, he was a God-man. And he suffered also in his human nature as well. And, you know, it's hard for us to understand that, isn't it? But now, why don't you read number 6 for us?
All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned into one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
But speaking here again of the ones who believe the report, and speaking here of the ones who are sheep, but speaking here of the ones who Christ died for. Did the Lord lay on the iniquity of Christ with everybody in the whole world?
No.
Who did he lay the iniquity on?
The elect.
the elect children of God, the sheep. You know, and all sheep have gone astray. It says he's turned everyone to his own way. The Lord have laid on them the iniquity of him, the iniquity of us all, meaning all of his sheep. And oftentimes God's sheep turn away to their own way, and they get back, they go back into Egypt. They go back to the things of the world. But God is the one that grants us repentance and faith, and repentance to turn back to Christ. Why don't you read verse 7.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
Well, we know that Christ was treated very, very terrible. And he was afflicted not only in his body, but in his mind. And he was afflicted both by God and man, you know, because it was required. God's justice was required. And he answered it with laying his life down freely as a perfect sacrifice for all of his people. He paid the whole, every last sin for his elect was paid for by Christ at the cross. He obtained the satisfaction for all of his elect sins. And he showed a lot of meekness and patience during all the suffering. And he showed a readiness and a willingness to be sacrificed in the stead of his people. It's called substitution. And he was sacrificed as a lamb, goes to the slaughterhouse. And anyway, Mark, why don't you read verse 8 for us?
He was taken from prison in judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
What does that verse mean to you, Mark?
He was judged in another country, and he died on the cross. In Calvary, you know.
Well, he did suffer and die. He made satisfaction for divine justice.
And, born in Bethlehem.
Yeah, he was born in Bethlehem, but he died. You know, he was under a sentence of condemnation. Now, I'm going to have to stop and take this call, and we'll continue this in a minute. Okay, we're continuing. We were ready. Mark says we were ready for verse 9. Mark, you want to read that for us?
He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Well, you know, says that he made his grave with the rich, with the wicked, and with the rich. Of course, that is that was also prophesied, and we know that he was without sin, that meaning no violence was in his mouth. You know. And, you know, Nicodemus and Joseph took down his body from the cross, embalmed it, laying it in the tomb. Wicked men, Roman soldiers, were employed in guarding the sepulcher so that the disciples wouldn't take his body. And, of course, still to this day, they say that somebody stole his body away, you know. And, you know, his grave was put or placed with the wicked, but his sepulcher or a monument was with the rich, you know, meaning his grave was indeed put under the care and custody of the wicked soldiers. Yet he was actually buried in a very famous tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had designed for himself. Joseph Arimathea must have been a pretty wealthy guy. And notice here he says that no deceit was in his mouth. No deceit was in his mouth. Jesus Christ never taught any false doctrine. He was not a deceiver of the people. He did not attempt to seduce from the people the true worship of God. And he didn't try to get them to believe in anything contrary to the law and the prophets. He was not an enemy of the church, and he was not an enemy of the state, even though they made him their enemy. They even tried to bring false witnesses against him and so on. Mark, do you have any thoughts about that?
No.
No? Well, why don't you read verse number 10 again for us?
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. But thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand.
Well, it was, you know, Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. There was an everlasting covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Christ would come and die for the sins of his people. You know, this was all by the predetermined counsel of God. He said in Acts 2, but by wicked hands you have taken and slain and crucified. But this was all in an everlasting decree of God. We know that he put him to grief. Notice, remember Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, there was a separation at the cross between the Father and the Son. It's hard for us to understand. Notice also it says, thou shalt make his soul sin. Christ was made by imputation. In other words, his soul made an offering for sin for all of his people. Christ offered to himself freely, up himself freely, voluntarily. He gave himself an offering and a sacrifice to God, which was a sweet smelling savor according to Ephesians 5:2. He was the sacrifice, perfect sacrifice. And of course, he did that for his seed. His seed. It says he shall see his seed. Okay? So Mark, why don't you go ahead and now when he talks about his seed, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It was the pleasure of the Lord to bruise him so that his seed would be justified. Okay, now read verse 11 for us, Mark.
He shall see and prevail in his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
Well, this satisfaction that was accomplished at the cross was an infinite satisfaction. It was from everlasting to everlasting. It was a completed redemption for his chosen ones. And it was only for his chosen ones. And so Christ saw himself, or his soul, freed from the trouble. In other words, he was satisfied. You know. Now when he rose from the dead, he was justified in the Spirit. He ascended to God the Father and sat down at his right hand. Obviously, he was full of eternal glory and happiness when that happened. After the travail of his soul. You know. And notice that it was for his seed.
His seed.
He says that, read verse 11, Mark.
He shall see and prevail, the soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, who shall bear their iniquities.
Notice he didn't say that by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify all. Every man, girl, woman, and boy without exception. But he would justify many. Those who were elected, those who were chosen in him from the foundation of the world, those who were recipients of his unconditional election and grace, those who were given the gift of faith to believe upon him. So it was a magnification of the grace of God, which exalted the satisfaction and righteousness of Christ. You know, and this encouraged distressed sinners. That's who he came to save. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And he said he did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And so it's a big encouragement for sinners to look to Christ for all their justification. You know? Not all men, for all men have not faith. And nor are all men saved, you know. But Christ's spiritual seed shall be justified. And now, Mark, read for us the last verse there, of verse 12.
Last part of it.
Verse 12.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Well, Mark, your final comments on this 53rd chapter of Isaiah?
He will divide them a portion with the elect, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul from dying on the cross unto death, a number of transgressors and bear the sin of many elect and made intercession for the transgressors.
Now, is it true that he bore the sins of all of the elect?
No.
Of all of the elect?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah. Careful.
He did bear the sins of all of the elect.
Yeah.
You know.
He didn't die for all.
No, he didn't. He did not die for all. Well, Mark, I appreciate you going through this 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Pardon me?
You're very welcome.
Yeah. And we'll continue tomorrow. I'm not sure where we'll be going tomorrow, but we'll let everybody know. And we hope that everyone has a blessed day, and we hope that this has been an encouragement to all who listen. May God be with you this day.
Thank you.
Thank you.